This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. In genteel Savannah, Georgia, eating traditional Southern food remains a somewhat sacred rite. Such devotion has made Mrs. Wilkes' dining room a place of worship. The former boarding house, now restaurant, offers a relaxed atmosphere and an abundance of home-cooked pleasure. But as Emily Corwin reports for our Shifting the Balance series, the way the food is served can make the difference between overindulgence and a satisfying, healthy intake. This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. In genteel Savannah, Georgia, eating traditional Southern food remains a somewhat sacred rite. Such devotion has made Mrs. Wilkes' dining room a place of worship. The former boarding house, now restaurant, offers a relaxed atmosphere and an abundance of home-cooked pleasure. But as Emily Corwin reports for our Shifting the Balance series, the way the food is served can make the difference between overindulgence and a satisfying, healthy intake.
In this city, it seems like the birds are always chirping and the church bells are always ringing. It's Thursday, about 1 p.m. on Jones Street, so the sun is shining through a canopy of live oaks and magnolias. Starting on the corner of Whitaker Street, a line of people extends down the block. They're waiting for lunch at Mrs. Wilkes' dining room. Every once in a while, a spurt of 9 or 10 people comes out of the restaurant, looking pretty cheery.
It's amazing.
Worth the wait, is
everyone? Oh, we were back here for about 40 minutes.
45 minutes.
Yeah, that's worth the wait.
Lena Kelly is sitting on a bench while her granddaughter and great-grandson hold their place in line. She grew up in Georgia, but lives in Arizona, and every year for 11 years, she's made a trip to Savannah to eat at Mrs. Wilkes.
It's nothing like Southern hospitality. I mean, where else would you, everyone standing in line talking and would stand for 2 hours to get into a place to eat? You don't do that in Arizona. You don't do that in the North. Don't do it.
Inside of the restaurant, the walls are old brick, laid in 1869. There are two rooms, both loud with conversations, laughter, and clanking forks and knives. The food is served family style, so each room has only 4 or so tables, which seat 8 or 10 people. Marcia Thompson runs the place. She's Mrs. Wilkes' granddaughter.
She started this business when she was 40. They took her farm for an airfield during World War II, and they had to relocate, and they came to Savannah and did this out of necessity. She had 11 boarders.
Before this was a restaurant, Mrs. Wilkes, Marcia's grandmother, ran a boarding house with ladies on the fourth floor, Marcia's great-grandmother upstairs, some railroad men, some retired gentlemen, and a room of Georgia co-op tech students.
And then she started letting the neighbors come and friends come, and so she always said one would tell another, and that's how the business started.
Mrs. Wilkes is one of Savannah's most famous and successful restaurants. But the truth is, nobody in the Wilkes or Thompson families ever really set out to be a restaurateur. Marcia's grandmother had started the boarding house because she had to during World War II, and she had never intended for Marcia to take over. In fact, as a kid, Marcia wasn't even allowed downstairs in the dining room.
When I was a little girl, she wouldn't let me come downstairs much. I had to stay up there and read and practice my music. And
Marcia went to college, taught school, and became a flight attendant. When her husband returned from the Vietnam War, he got a job in sales at Xerox, back in Savannah, where Mrs. Wilkes kept her restaurant. Unfortunately, Mr. Thompson found he didn't like sales at all.
And so he was going to look for something else, and she broke her leg. And he stepped in to help her, and that was it. You know, never left. And then we were going to have to quit because he has severe arthritis. And my son was getting out of graduate school, and he said he'd help us. So that's how we're lucky enough to still be here today.
Maybe that's why the Thompsons are so successful. They don't want the place to be anything more than what it is and what it always was. They only serve the public for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And they have no intention of expanding or even changing the menu. All of the food comes from Mrs. Wilkes' original recipes.
Particularly today in this scary economy we're in, you know, people love feeling like they're, you know, a bit of the past. They're going back and they can remember eating like this for Sunday dinner, or at least that's how it is in the South, you know. But that's vastly fading away. People are too busy today, you know.
By the time you sit down here, there are about 25 dishes already set on the table.
One's cornbread, one's biscuit.
Oh, thank
the
you.
Round ones are cornbread, and the other ones are homemade biscuits.
Derek Clark lives here in Savannah, but has never been to Mrs. Wilkes before. He tried everything.
Chicken, fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, green beans, lima beans, squash, yams, dumplings, rutabaga, okra, collard greens, cream corn, black-eyed peas, biscuit, banana pudding, sweet tea.
People love Mrs. Wilkes because the food is good and because the place makes you feel good. But with 25 dishes like fried chicken, mac and cheese, and mashed potatoes, sure it tastes good, but is it good for us?
I don't know, because my grandmother lived to be 95 and she ate here three times a day, every day. I mean, they had eggs, bacon, and grits for breakfast and sausage and ham. They had all that, biscuits, every day.
Nevertheless, Marcia still says,
moderation is the key, I believe, sincerely.
And Lena Kelly, who we met in line, she agrees. But she says moderation happens naturally when people socialize around meals.
You sit down at the table with your family and eat, and it's a meal, and you conversate and talk about your day or whatever, you're not going to eat as much. To me, that's why we're so plagued with obesity, because we sit in front of a TV, we eat alone, we go out, we eat bad food, we eat alone, we're in a rush. No one was rushing here. It's how we eat our food and what we eat and why we eat. But take it from the Italians. Enjoy your food, which I just did, and it was wonderful.
Lena's stance is a lot like Michael Pollan's, the food writer and author of Omnivore's Dilemma. He says the answer is about history, culture, and tradition, and Americans should stop fixating on individual nutrients like fatty acids or carbohydrates. However, Lena is hedging her bets. She eats with her family, but she also switches out butter for olive oil and sugar for Splenda or stevia. So is it about why we eat or how much we eat or something totally different? Science writer Gary Taubes, whose new book is called Why We Get Fat, says this.
Yeah, we tell people to eat in moderation, but moderation, almost by definition, is what lean people do in this country. You know, if you're lean, you're eating in moderation. Even Michael Phelps is eating in moderation, getting 11,000 calories a day because he's lean. And the world is full of obese and type 2 diabetic individuals who eat in moderation just like lean people. In fact, eat in moderation better than lean people, and it's not good enough.
Gary's book introduces a new hypothesis, suggesting it is specifically the sugars and grains in our diets that are making Americans fat.
And again, the world is full of obese and type 2 diabetics who try to cut back in sugar and know enough not to eat white bread, but they don't do it entirely. And what we know from clinical trials is if you do it entirely, you just get those foods out of your diet, for the great proportion of people who try this, they lose weight and they're... Type 2 diabetes at least gets better.
Man, it'd be hard to say no to that sweet tea and banana pudding. Though I'd take fried chicken and collards over mac and cheese or candied sweet potatoes any day. For Word of Mouth, this is Emily Corwin.
I wanna tell you where it's at. Down at the chicken shack. Chicken shack. Now you know they got a big strong line to have a real gay time. Come on. I said you better come on.
Well, thanks for pulling up to the table with us today. If you missed any of today's program or would like to pass a helping along to others, you can visit wordofmouthradio.org. There you can also listen to other segments from our Shifting the Balance series or sift through our archives and post questions or feedback about what you've heard on the air. You can also email your ideas for future segments to wordofmouth@nhpr.org by posting on our Facebook page or by sending us a tweet. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us again for Word of Mouth at noon and again at 9 p.m. from New Hampshire Public Radio.
Ah, why they really jump? Now they got 'em.